It's Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WGNT. And I'm joined now by Patrick Ruby, Washington Times writer. The toughest room in comedy is his story today, and I have to laugh because this is the story of that famed White House correspondence dinner, right?
That's right. It is a snake pit for comedy writers and performers.
And you talk with Rich Little. Now, here's a guy who would know something about working a tough room, right?
Right. I mean, look, Rich Little, I mean, he's performed everywhere from Vegas casinos to he got his start in these backwater Canadian nightclubs. He's been on TV. He's been in films. He's been for a million drunk hecklers, and he's performed before heads of state.
Yeah.
And he says the toughest place he's ever played is the correspondence dinner.
No kidding. And he's done it a couple times, right?
That's right. He did it back in the Reagan era in 85.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, actually Reagan and him got along great. Reagan was a really big Rich Little fan.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also did it again in 2008, and that was the year after the infamous Stephen Colbert performance.
Yeah. Tell me about that performance. There's a couple things that he, actually, he kind of stayed in character, didn't he? That was the big problem?
Well, you know, that was the interesting thing is that after, I mean, well, to go back to the performance, I mean, he did, you know, Stephen Colbert, he kind of plays the send-up of a very sort of arrogant, pompous, right-wing TV, like, talk show host, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very satirical kind of thing. I'm sure anyone who's ever seen the Colbert Report sort of knows his character. It's very, very over the top. And, you know, it's funny. It's particularly funny if you're sort of a liberal-leaning. But I think if you're conservative and you're sort of familiar with some of the guys that actually do this, but just the sheer over-the-topness of it can be kind of funny. But, so they book Colbert, and he just went on, and he was completely in character. But, you know, the thing is, his character, I mean, it's almost so over the top that it didn't play well in that room.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't really gentle humor. It was very sharp and satirical. And it was really, you know, sort of taking shots at Bush and at the Bush administration. And in the room, it bombed. I mean, people were walking out. He wasn't getting a lot of laughs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, on the internet and afterwards, it sort of picked up a second life, and a lot of people either felt it was brilliant or they felt it was totally disrespectful. It kind of became the substance of a partisan food fight, like these things often do. And so, you know, it's one of those things where you almost wonder if the people booking the dinner realize sort of what kind of comedy he does.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. All right, now, he obviously didn't do well. I guess you could say he bombed in his performance, even though, like you said, it sort of had a second life. Who is there one that stands out that's really benefited from doing this?
Well, you know, I think that in general, I don't know if there's one person that's benefited,
yeah.
But I think that it can, and on the whole, it can kind of raise the stature of a performer just because there's a lot of attention to this now. It used to be there were no TV cameras in the room.
That's
this
right.
This was really an opportunity just sort of for the White House press corps, you know, Washington government people, bureaucrats, everyone to kind of let their hair down, drink, have a few too many drinks, trade gossip, and for one night have a bit of a respite from partisan warfare.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of changed. As everybody knows now, you know, this is not just on C-SPAN anymore. CNN will pick it up. You know, Fox will do stuff. All the cable news networks cover it. There's all these Hollywood people that are invited to it now.
Yeah.
So it's got this sort of red carpet thing. Everyone calls it nerd prom, basically, here in town. And, you know, but the thing is, because there's all this more attention to it, it makes it more of a difficult place for the comedians that come perform, and also for the writers who always help the president with his sort of comic remarks.
Yeah. You know, it occurs to me it could be one of these things that could really hurt you career-wise as a comedian, but by the same token, you can't turn down the invitation.
Right. No, you definitely can't. And, you know, obviously you can't. It's the president, you know. What comedian doesn't want to go into there and have a chance to make the president laugh?
Yeah.
But you're right. In terms of it hurting you, the way it can really hurt you is, like I said, because there's all this more attention on it now, just like almost everything else, anything you say, any joke you say, can easily sort of get sucked into, like, the partisan vortex of, you know, fighting and our sort of culture of taking umbrage at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously for a comedian, that's really difficult because comedy is all about taking risks. It's often about saying the thing that no one else wants to say. It's often about sort of going right up to the line of good taste or then just stepping way over it. I mean, that's kind of where comedians live, right?
Yeah.
And it's one thing if you're in a comedy club late at night, everyone's had a few drinks. People sort of expect that. But, you know, when you're there in front of all these politicians, I mean, for instance, in 2009, Wanda Sykes, right, mm-hmm. went on there, gave some jokes that were well-received. Then she started sort of attacking Rush Limbaugh. She had an infamous joke where she sits along the lines of, you know, I think he might have been, like, the extra hijacker on 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
He was strung out on OxyContin to make the flight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, that's a pretty harsh joke. That's probably pole vaulting over the line there. And, you know, she caught a lot of flack for that. But then the interesting thing was, I think President Obama was smirking at that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was catching flack for smirking. So it's a thing where if you're a politician, you know, I mean, humor works in a way where someone says something inappropriate, you might still laugh and then say, okay, wait a second, that's a terrible thing to say. But it just might catch you off base, and you might laugh anyway.
Yeah.
But think about if you're the president or you're one of these politicians in the room. You're sitting there having to think about, well, should I laugh at this? Should I not laugh at this? Is this going to hurt me? Am I going to have to hear about this for the next 2 days on cable news? So it really is this awkward situation. Only in Washington can you have an awkward situation like this at a comedy show.
Yeah, no kidding. And I guess watching the president's reaction is a good thing if you're going to take to the podium, and staying away from the off-color stuff. Not a bad idea.
Right, right. That's definitely one of the big no-nos, is just to kind of stay away from off-color, because, you know, like I said, it's already a little bit awkward enough. You don't want to make it more awkward by going there, so to speak.
Yeah. All right. Great story today. Thanks for coming on this afternoon. Folks, if you get a chance, check it out. The Toughest Room in Comedy. It's by Patrick Ruby in today's Washington Times. Good to talk to you, Patrick. Take care.